श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुम् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् सागरजातम् सहगणाब्रह्मानन्दम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् साद्भूतम् परिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादम् सहगणाललिता श्रीरुषाकान्तश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णकृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि कृतारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयप्रीयते नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयप्रीयते नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयाद्रियरे So far we have covered only a very small portion of the Mahabharata. We were talking about King Parikshit's curse. And today is actually the first day of Mahabharata Katha. When I was young, 5-6 years old, there was a TV serial in India, Mahabharata. Every Sunday morning, I think 10 to 12 or something. And during those 1 or 2 hours, you practically could not see even a dog on the street. Everybody was watching it. Everybody was. And then, after some time, toy shops started selling plastic gada, plastic maces for kids. And Mahabharata has been very popular for hundreds and thousands of years now. But there is also another group of people who criticize the Mahabharata. And in India, you will actually find Ekalavya scholarships. Have you heard of Ekalavya? Ekalavya was a student of Dronacharya, who claimed to be a student of Dronacharya. And at one point when Dronacharya said, give me the Guru Dakshina of your finger, he cut off his finger and he could not throw arrows anymore. We'll come to the story. But there are scholarships called Ekalavya scholarships, meant for students, you know, who are not appreciated by their teachers or who are not doing so well. They consider, you know, who are kind of come from very poor backgrounds, they have Ekalavya scholarships, Ekalavya Hero. And there are, Karna is a hero. Have you heard of Rabindranath Tagore, the poet? And then Michael Madhusudan Dutt. So these people have actually written glorifying Karna and Duryodhana. There is actually a glorification of Karna. Karna is a bigger hero than anybody else. There are many things going on there. And people say, my God, if Krishna is God, how could Krishna do such things? How could Krishna tell? I assume most of you know the basic story of the Mahabharata. I'll repeat it, parts of it. It's not possible to repeat the whole Mahabharata in 7 days. There are Krishna at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Karna's chariot wheel was stuck in the mud, Krishna said, "Go Arjun, kill him." How can God be so unethical? If he is teaching the Bhagavad Gita, if he is asking us to be ethical, what you preach, you should also practice. Why does Krishna practice? Why doesn't Krishna practice? These are some of the questions we will explore in the next 7 days. But we will start with, what is the purpose of the Mahabharata? Whenever in life we want to do something, the first question people ask us, or we ask ourselves, what is the purpose behind this? When we have, it's very expensive to maintain this temple, the boutique and the restaurant. But, you know, many people have given their lives just to maintain this establishment day after day, and it is a very austere thing. But then what is the purpose? Because the purpose is very high, these austerities do not look very big. Right? So when there is a solid purpose, we can take up an effort. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Granthero arambhe kori mangalacharan, Guru Vaishnava Bhagavan Tinera Smaran. In the beginning of this book, I invoke auspiciousness by remembering three personalities, Guru, Vaishnava and Bhagavan. That's how any book begins. Tinera Smarana Hai Bhijna Vinashan Anayashe Hai Nija Vanchita Puram. By remembering these three personalities, all obstacles in the path of devotional service are removed. And one gets what he is looking for. She Mangala Charan Hai Trivido Prakar. And the invocation is of three types. And listen very carefully, this is a key point. Bostu Nirdesh Ashirvada Namaskar. The three aspects in the beginning of the book is Vastu Nirdesh, is a telling of what is the use of this book, what is the purpose of this book, Vastu Nirdesh. Second is Ashirvad, blessings. And third is Namaskar, obeisances. Right? These three things, Vastu Nirdesh, telling what is the content of the book, Namaskar, offering obeisances, and Ashirvad, giving blessings, telling the hearers what they are going to benefit from hearing that book. In the beginning of the Mahabharata, we get this word. What is the word we hear? Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jaya udiyaret. See, Narayan, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, it says Guru, Vaishnava and Bhagavan. Narayanam namaskritya. Narayan is Bhagavan. Right? Naram chaiva narottamam. And Nara Narayan, Rishi. You know the two Rishis, Nara Narayan Rishi? So out of these two Rishis, Nara is Arjun, who is a Vaishnava, and Narayan is the Lord. So, Vaishnava and Bhagavan. Devin Saraswati. Devin Saraswati. She is a guru as well as a Vaishnava. Devin Saraswati and Vyasa. Right? Vyasa is again guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavan. He is in all three categories. Tato Jaya Udiyaret. You should loudly proclaim Jaya. And interestingly enough, the first name the Mahabharata had is called Jai. That was the first name of the Mahabharata. This was the Namaskar part. Right? And if you go further into Ashirvad and Vastu Nirdesha, we will see Atra Upanishada Punya Krishna Dvaipayana Abravit Bharata Adityana Punyat Apipadam Adhityadaha. You know the word Upanishad? Heard of the word Upanishad? You know what it means? Yes? Very close. Anybody else? Upanishad? Upa is close. Sad is sit. And but there is a deeper meaning to that. Yeah. You have to one step closer to the answer. Upanishad, should I give it out or? Upanishad means the secret. The secret, if I go close to Tapasambhu and whisper something in his ear, that will be a secret. So the action is Upanishad, but actually the meaning is the secret. Atra Upanishad Punya. This holy book, right? Krishna Dvaipayana Abravat. Krishna Dvaipayana, it's a Vyasadeva, he spoke. And then, what did he speak? Vyasadeva is telling the Vastu Nirdesha, the purpose of this book. Vyasadeva says, Bhagavan Vasudevascha Kityate Yastra Sanatana Sahi Satyam Ritam Chaiva Pavitram Punyam Evacha. He said, this book is about Bhagavan Vasudeva. It's about Lord Krishna. Kirtyate Atra Sanatana, his glories are eternally sung in this book. Satyam, he indeed is the truth. Ritam is the proper being. Ritam is very close to the English word right. You heard the word right? And Rita in Sanskrit? So he is the right thing. Ritam Chaiva Pavitra Punyam, he is pure and he is holy. Sasvata Brahma Parama Dhuva Yoti Sanatana Yasya Divyani Karmani Kathayanti Manishana. Sasvata, he is always the Supreme Brahma. Sasvata Parama Brahma Dhuva, he is always fixed. Right? Yoti, he is effulgent, eternally, Sanatana. Yasya Divyani Karmani, whose divine activities are sung by saints. Kathayanti Manishina. Right. So what is the Vastu Nirdesh? What is the content of Mahabharata? The eternal activities of Krishna. Listen to this verse very carefully because now I'm going to quiz you. Sad asat asat chaiva yasma deva pravartate Sata itischa pravrittischa janma mrittur punara abhavaha. So one goes through this, he does not come back into the cycle of janma and mrittu. That is the beginning of the Mahabharata. That is the Vastu Nirdesha. Vyasa said, this is the purpose of the book. Right? Yes. Why? That is my question now. I'll come to that. But before I get to that, I want everybody to speak in this room. Who do you think is the hero of the Mahabharata? Tell me. Very difficult question. The listener is the hero?
Yeah.
Why?
Because what you said
before. He does get out of the cycle. But no, considering the story of the Mahabharata, who is the hero of the Mahabharata?
Arjuna.
How many think Arjuna is the hero?
Yeah.
she thinks Arjuna is not the hero. You were nodding your head. Yes.
But he was not doing it for him. He just did it for himself.
Yeah, but you know, at the end, the Yudhishthira Maharaj becomes the king. And one who becomes the king, it should be the hero. Right? So, did he ever consider Yudhishthira?
Yes.
He's the hero?
Yes.
Huh?
Because he doesn't get rid of the dog.
Hmm. But some people think Vyasadeva is the hero because he is the father of both Dhritarashtra and Pandu, and he is the main character in the story. He like makes everything happen, so he is the hero. Who do you think, Vyasadeva? He's the director. Okay. But then what happened to Karna? You know, you should give him some consideration. He is the son of the sun, and you know, he goes through so much trouble. And you know, like, if you watch a movie, just forget the Mahabharata for a moment. If you are watching a movie, and then one character, he's a good character, but he is undergoing tremendous suffering. Don't you feel sympathy for him? Don't you feel he is the real hero? And that is karma. Karna, he has no fault. It is Kunti's fault. Kunti has begotten Karna, her problem. And then he's thrown away in the river. And then she's brought up by a charioteer and his wife or Radha. Karna has to be the hero. What do you think? Many heroes? Or, yes.
He said,
he must be the hero. yes, no,
what's him with all this Bhishma, Bhima?
Yeah, I was just about to talk about that. What about Bhishma? He's the grandfather, he makes everything happen. You know, when he dies, the friends, enemies, everybody comes together. He's a Mahajan. Today's topic is actually Bhishma. We'll explore him more. But Bhishma can also be the hero of the Mahabharata. You know, he's the grandfather. He gets the women for Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. He's come to these characters. He's big and strong, and you know, he can kill anybody he likes, and then Krishna loves him, so he must be the hero. Anyway, to conclude this discussion, did you realize that all of us came up with several characters except Krishna? Did you realize that? In discussing the hero of the Mahabharata, we discussed Bhishma, Karna, Arjun, us, practically everybody except Krishna. I was giving the same katha in Abu Dhabi, in Saudi Arabia. A very nice group of devotees, and I asked the same question, so who is the hero of the Mahabharata? And if you've seen... No, but what kind of a movie is that? Is the total hero is missing at the end? You know, like... But anyway, they said, you know, they have been watching this serial. You know, in series, you get them now? And suddenly, you know, there is this wheel turning. And ting, ting sound, and it says, I am dying. You remember that? Do you see? So somebody said, that must be the hero. Time is the hero. Well, of course, Krishna is time, but But in studying the Mahabharata and reading the Mahabharata, top, bottom, up and down, we do not come across a solid hero. There is not a single character who is glorified completely. Everybody has flaws. And after Vyasadeva finished writing the book, that was precisely the problem. Mahabharata and outside. After Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata, and that's why I brought Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva says, Tathapi batame dahiyo hi atma chai vatmana vibhu asampanna eva bhati brahma varchasya sattamah. Which means, I am feeling incomplete. Though I myself am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas. Then he says, Kimba bhagavata dharma natraena nirupitah priyah paramahamsana ta eva hi achyuta priya. This may be because Arjuna specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is both dear to perfect beings and to the infallible Lord. And then Vyasadeva, his guru, says, now rewrite the Mahabharata. And therefore we have Bhagavata. Right? So, going further, what is the main theme of the Mahabharata? The main theme. Again, Vyasadeva writes in Adiparva, Duryodhana manamayo mahadramaha skandakarna satunistasya sakta shakha dushasana puspa phale samridhya mularada dhritarashtramanisi. Duryodhana, right, who can also be called the hero by some people, but the bad guy, Duryodhana manamayo, he is filled with mana, he is filled with, you know, ego. He is like a big tree, mahadramaha. Duryodhana manamayo mahadramaha. Skanda and the branches are skanda karna shakuni tasya sakha. And the branches are Karna and Shakuni. If you don't know the story, hold on, please complete. Dushasana puspa phale. And Dushasana is like the fruit and flower of the tree. And the root, Mula, the root of the tree, is Raja Dhritarashtra. King Dhritarashtra is the root of that tree. Right? Huh? Blind Dhritarashtra. And Prabhupada explains that some people can be physically blind, some people can be spiritually blind. Right? And the word Dhritarashtra, Rashtra means land or country, and Dhrita means forcefully holding on. So Dhritarashtra means one who forcefully holds on to things. Right? And unfortunately, of course, this gathering is a gathering of Mahatmas, except for me. But Dhritarashtra, there is a Dhritarashtra in each and every one of us. Unfortunately. Huh? We grab onto things which do not belong to us. And that leads us to problems in life, just as it did Dhritarashtra 5,000 or more years back. That is the root of the tree of Duryodhana, Shakuni, Karna and all the other people who created chaos. On the other hand, Vyasadeva says, Yudhishthira Dharmamaya. Yudhishthira, on the other hand, is Dharmamaya. Is filled with dharma. And he is Mahadramaha. He is also a great tree. He is a Yudhishthira Dharmamaya Mahadramaha. Skandha Arjuna Bhima Shena Tashaka. The trunk is Arjun and the branches are Bhimsen. Right? Madri Suta Puspaphale and the flowers and the fruits are the two sons of Madri, Nakul and Sahadev. Mura Krishna Brahma Cha Brahmanascha, and the root of the tree is Krishna, who is the absolute truth, and Brahma. So right in the beginning of the Mahabharata, Vyasdeva is indicating. See, there are two big trees. One is the Pandavas, the other one is the Kauravas. The Kauravas have as the root of their tree Dhritarashtra, someone who holds on to material things, whatever the valuable material things, by force. On the other hand, Pandavas are those people who hold on to Krishna and Brahmana, right? And right before that, few verses behind, Vyasdeva had said, Krishna is Satyam, Ritam, Pavitram, Punyam. He is Satyam, Truth, Ritam, he is right, Pavitram, pure, and Punyam, holy. Right? So, at the beginning of the Mahabharata, very first chapters, you know, the Vastanization set out. This is what I'm going to discuss. But writing the Mahabharata for Vyasdeva was writing an exam. And sometimes, you know, we plan to do something else comes out. One sannyasi was explaining, you know, for years and years and years I tried to dance in a certain way, and then suddenly I saw my dancing in a video and I said, oh my god, I danced so horribly. Right? Or when we write an exam, you know, early in the morning we have crammed everything in our head, and then we go to the examination hall, you put everything down on paper, and you come out, I thought, yes, I've done it. But when the results come out, something has gone wrong somewhere. There was some mistake. Or you're cooking sweet rice for a Sunday feast, and you're pouring sugar and milk and sugar and milk and sugar and milk. And when you actually, after offering to Radha Govindaji or Govindita, you taste it, you realize that you did not stir it properly, and the whole sweet rice is actually bitter now. Several times it happens. We start doing something. By the time we finish it, it is not what we initially wanted to do. Between the desire and the action, there is a stuff. Between what we want to do and what we do, there is a big gap. And there is an English saying, there is many a slip between the cup and the lip. You try to drink, it can slip. There is many a slip between the cup and the lip. And this is exactly what happened to Vyasadeva. He wanted to write, yes, this story is about Krishna, but he landed up writing so many other things that Krishna ultimately, the end result, Krishna was ignored. Right? Ignored. Therefore, he had to write an appendix to the Mahabharata called Harivamsa. But even that was not sufficient. And then he had to write Bhagavatam. And then this was his final work. That's why Bhagavatam is Nigama Kalpa Tirudha Kalitam from the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas. If all the Vedas, Upanishads, everything is like the tree, Mahabharata is the fruit. Right? And this book is about the glorification of the Lord and His devotees. So we will recite certain sections of the Mahabharata, not the whole story, certain important sections. And whenever we will find an opportunity, we will highlight some points from other scriptures of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, many, many years ago, King Parikshit was hunting And as he was chasing a deer, he entered a forest and into the hermitage of a saint called Shamika Rishi. Now Shamika Rishi was under a vow of silence. So when King Parikshit said, "I am thirsty, give me water," Shamika Rishi did not respond. He was enraptured in meditation. And being upset, King Parikshit took up a snake and put it around the neck of Shamika Rishi. When the son of Shamika Rishi, Sringi, saw that, he was so upset. He said, "Anybody who has put the snake on my father's neck shall die in 7 days by the bite of Takshaka." And Takshaka, mind you, is way worse than an anaconda. Have you ever seen the movie Anaconda? It came out like 10-15 years back. This huge snake. I just saw a trailer. The swallowing of human beings, and it's like huge. And I heard that they had to actually, they kept ambulances outside the cinema hall. In India, they used to keep ambulances outside the cinema hall because whenever people saw anaconda, they would be so scared, some of them would have a heart attack. They had to rush to the hospital. Takshaka was way worse. And this Brahmana boy, Sringi, he was very chaste, he was very austere. He could undergo severe penances, but he had no control over his anger. So when his father heard such a bad curse from his own son's mouth, the father thought, "I should break my silence." He said, "What have you done? King Parikshit maintains the whole world. If he dies, where will we go?" Right? There is an Indian legend called the legend about Kalidasa. Kalidasa is a very famous poet. He is called the Shakespeare of India. And at one point in life, Kalidasa was such an idiot. He was sitting on the branch of a tree and cutting that same branch. And then somebody came and told him, "Hey, if you do that, you're going to fall." He said, no, I'm okay." And he kept on cutting it. Right? And when he fell, he realized, "Oh, actually you were right." So, Sait Samika realized his son is doing something, a similar mistake. Killing a rightful king is a serious thing, it's not a joke. So Shamika Rishi sent a very well-behaved disciple called Gauramukha to King Parikshit. And when Gauramukha told King Parikshit that, "My dear Lord," of course in Sanskrit, Bhagavan is Lord, and then you can say Bhavan. Bhavan means sir or lord. Right? Like Lord Tennyson. He's not God, but he's Lord Tennyson. So, sir, Lord, you're going to die in 7 days. And Parikshit immediately brought several brahmanas together to discuss what should we do now. And the brahmanas told him to make a palace on the top of a pole. Right? And that palace was protected by sacred mantras, by medicines, and it was always surrounded by very well-equipped doctors. But Takshaka and the other snakes who heard of the curse actually started moving towards Hastinapur to kill King Parikshit. But when they came close to the palace, they couldn't proceed anymore. And such is the power of Vedic mantras. Sometimes we think, "Oh, this is ritual, or this is magic, or people believe it is superstition," right? But this year I was in South India, and my professor Narasimhachari, he was telling me that in one village in Kerala, they still have Vedic Brahmins. And at one point, a Western scholar from Harvard was doing research on this group, And of course, Western scholars think it is all ritual, magic, and superstition, da 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 da. Okay. He said, no, but we, you know, we can actually do a sacrifice and bring rain. He said, okay, we can try. This is like in the middle of summer. I said, no chance of rain. But they did the Agnishtoma sacrifice. Agnishtoma. And I think at the end of 1 month, and it wasn't the rainy season, mind you, it was like hard summer when there is no rain at all. It started raining like cats and dogs for days. How can you explain these things? So these Brahmins, they were protecting King Parikshit. They did not want to lose their king. But Takshaka came, and with his group of snakes, they realized that it is not possible to enter the palace of King Parikshit. So the snakes, the Nagas, they disguised as Brahmins, and they took plates of fruit to King Parikshit. Right? And now, and again, this is Vedic culture. Because several Brahmanas came, King Parikshit could not refuse them. Although he perhaps knew who they were actually. He doesn't refuse them. He said, please come. Krishna is called Go Brahmana Hitayacha. Right? He is a hita. He is a cause of benefit to cows and Brahmanas. Because these are the foundations of society. Right? And in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that how to judge a society? In a society where there is no protection of cows, brahmanas, women, and old people, that society is as good as no society. Right? So when King the Takshaka snake came with all these brahmanas, they were allowed inside the palace, and then King Parikshit took a fruit, and as he was just about to eat it, a copper-colored insect came out with black eyes and with a very dangerous pointing nose. It was the Takshaka disguised as an insect. And then King Parikshit understood that my last moment has come. So he took the snake. He took the insect, and said, "If I am supposed to die now, let it be. Let the sins that I have committed against sage Samhita be destroyed." And he put the insect on his neck. Such is the character of a Vaishnava. Of course, in the Mahabharata, Vyasadeva writes this story. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, he changes it. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, King Parikshit does the same thing. He invites Takshaka, please bite me, my time has come. But before Takshaka bites him, Maharaj Parikshit hears Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. He asks, what is the duty of a man who knows he is dying? Interesting. Anyway, we won't get into the philosophical details right now. I don't want to depress you. So when King Parikshit died, his son Janmejaya came to know and asked the Brahmanas, how did my father die? And they repeated to King Janmejaya that there was a snake, Takshaka, and he bit your father because Sringi, the son of the sage, actually cursed him to die. Janmejaya said, he was so upset, he said, we have to kill all the snakes right now. And he made a big yajna. And there were Brahmins dressed in black dhotis. And they were chanting mantras and invoking snakes by their names, and the most important snakes, whenever they would be called by their name, they lost complete control of themselves, and they like gradually rushed towards the yajna, towards the fire sacrifice, and they dropped into the fire, and they were screaming and yelling, but they, because of the power of the mantra, they completely lost control of themselves. And when, at the end, they called Takshaka, and Takshaka is the most important snake. At that point, Astika, the nephew of Takshaka, came and said, King Janmedaya, please don't kill my uncle. Please. King Janmedaya said, no, he killed my father, I have to kill him. But Astika was a Brahmana. So King Janmedaya again asked his courtiers, his Brahmana friends, what should I do now? Because this Brahman is begging for the life of Takshaka. And the Brahman said, according to precept, according to scriptures, if a Brahmana is begging for something, you should not refuse it. Let Takshaka's life be spared. And that is how the snake yagya of Janmedaya stopped. And when it stopped, when Takshaka's life was saved, there was a loud roar. Janmedaya Maharaj ki jai. Because he had imbibed the good qualities of his family to honor Brahmanas, to protect cows. Right? And Srila Vyasadeva, who had heard that Janmedaya was making the snake sacrifice, started from Badrikashram to come to Hastinapur. And when he got there, Vyasadeva said, what happened? And Janmedaya mentioned, yes, this is what happened, and we had the snake sacrifice, and we just finished it now. And we also, I am also interested, my dear Vyasadeva, to hear the story of my family. You have seen the entire history of the Kuru race. Right? Please tell us what happened. And Vyasadeva had his disciple Vaishampayan with him. And Vyasadeva said, Vaishampayan, narrate Mahabharata. So this was the second time the Mahabharata was narrated. The first time it was called Jai. The second time when Vaishampayan narrated the Jai, narrated the book Jai to Janmedaya, it became known as Bharat, the great history of the dynasty of King Bharata. Right? So I will not follow the chronology of the book, but I will follow the chronology of time, how things happened. There was one great king called King Dushyanta. Have you heard of King Dushyanta? Dushyanta and Shakuntala. King Dushyanta was hunting in the forest at one time, and then he came across a hermitage that belonged to sage Kanva. And when Dushyanta was thus in the hermitage, he saw a very young, beautiful girl. Right? And he fell in love with her. And asked her, will you marry me? The famous Bollywood dialogue. And she said, you are the most worthy groom. You are the king of the land. And you have already stolen my heart. But my father is not here. My father, Sage Kanva, has gone outside. Let him come back. And the king was too agitated. He said, no, 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 no. Now. And the king gave the logic. See, of all kinds of marriages, Gandharva marriage for Kshatriyas are the best. And Gandharva marriage implies you fall in love with somebody, you go with him. But Shakuntala said, fine, tell me one thing. Promise me you'll never forget me. Because you belong to a, you are the king, you have many women in your palace. I am just a forest girl. Why are you so interested in me? And the king said, I only have two wives now. One is the earth, and the other is you. And again, in Vedic culture, the king is considered Bhumipati, the lord of the earth. The earth is considered the wife of the king. course, then the king left and Shakuntala stayed back in Kanva Muni's ashram. And later on, when Kanva Muni came to know that Shakuntala actually fell in love with the king, he was very happy. And then he said, Shakuntala, you are growing up, you should go to the king. You should stay with your husband. However, meanwhile, Shakuntala had a baby from the king. His name was Sarvadamana. Right? So one day Shakuntala and the sages, they walked back to the king's palace with the baby. And of course, Kalidasa has a different version, but I'm not getting into that. I'm telling you the Mahabharata version. He went there, and the king was in the palace, and he says, no, dear sages, what do you want? And the sages said, you fell in love with this lady in the forest, you married her, she has your baby now, you should accept her as your queen and the baby as your heir. The king says, I respect you as sages, but this is too much. You just bring in a woman to my palace and say she is my wife, and a baby saying he is my boy and he is the next king. How can that be? Get out. And Shakuntala said, for a man, his son is his own reflection. And a woman begets a baby who is just like the father. And there is really no difference between the father and the son. Look at your son. Don't you see he is yours? And she pleaded and requested, and at the same time, you know, she was getting angrier and angrier. And at the end she said, dear King Dushyanta, please remember, you are of a lower birth than me. I am the daughter of sage Vishwamitra and the celestial Merika. And you are just a human king. I don't even need your kingdom. And she walked off. And as she was going away, there was a sound in the sky saying, King Dushyanta, that is your son, don't reject him. And then King Dushyanta immediately went to the sage and said, I'm sorry. But I was thinking, if a woman from the streets just came to me and said, I am your wife, what would my subjects say? So therefore, I recognized you, but I told you that I don't remember you for the sake of my subject. So let Sarvadaman be the heir of this kingdom. And today he shall be named Bharata. Bhara, the word Sanskrit word Bhara, is similar to the English word bear. Like, I am bearing this class. So whoever bears the entire burden of earth is Bharata. And because King Bharata became the king of this entire world, the whole world was known as Bharata Varsha. Right? And the Kuru dynasty actually came from King Bharata. Many generations later, there was a very austere, ascetic couple who meditated for many years on the bank of the Ganges. And when they were very old, Mother Ganga came to them and said, ask any boon you want. And they said, let us have a child. The name of this old man was Patichi. Patiti. Let us have a child. And this child became famous as King Shantanu. When Shantanu grew up, his father told him that, you know, one day a very beautiful woman is going to come to you and ask for your hand. Don't refuse her. Right? And left for the forest. And actually, many years later, a woman came to King Shantanu and said, will you marry me? And King Shantanu was so enamored by her beauty. He was in the middle of a forest, of course. I don't know how there were so many women in the forest, but there was. And King Shantanu said, of course, why not? But then the lady said, one condition. One condition. That is, I will do whatever I want, but you cannot ever question me or be harsh with me. And King Shantanu, his heart was soft. He said, okay. And this lady bore him 7 children. But with the birth of each child, this lady would go and throw him in the river. And imagine, just now we discussed in Shakuntala, the father and the son are actually one personality. And what happens to the father is, in front of his eyes, his wife throws his baby away in the river. It's not a funny deal. So 7 times she did like this, and the 8th time, Shantanu stopped him. Stop, please. He is my child. Why do you kill your own babies? Please keep him. And then this lady said, yes, if you want, I will keep this baby. But since you have broken the contract that you're never going to question me, I will now leave. So the lady left. Many years later, King Shantanu was roaming around on the bank of the Ganges, and he saw a young boy shooting arrows one after the other and holding the course of the Ganges. He changed the whole course of the Ganges. And when Shantanu was just about to ask him, who are you? This boy just vanished. And Shantanu was feeling dejected. At that time, Ganga came up with this boy again, right, and said, King Shantanu, this is the son you saved. His name is Devavrata. He is also known as Gangeya, the son of Ganga. And King Shantanu was overjoyed to have his son back after so many years. He took him to the kingdom and made him an heir prince. He would become the king later. And anyway, but King Shantanu had another doubt in mind. He was thinking that I just have one son, Gangeya. If he dies, who will take care of the kingdom? I don't have any brothers or anything. And he was also thinking about one woman in particular called Satyavati. Now Satyavati was a daughter of a fisherman who used to smell very beautiful. Strange. And morning and night he was thinking about Satyavati. He had once met her. And when he approached Satyavati, will you be my wife? Satyavati said, ask my father. And his father said, yes, you can marry my daughter, but you have to promise that whoever is his son shall be the king. And King Shantanu was heartbroken because he wanted Bhishma to be the king, Gangeya. But this man was asking his grandchild to be the king. So he couldn't marry. Right? But Satyavati had another history. We won't get into that right now. So when Gangeya consulted his father's friends and asked him, why is my father so sad nowadays? They said, he is in love with this woman, Satyavati. So Bhishma went there and told Satyavati's father, I want to take her for my father. She is my mother. And the fisherman said, the king of the fishermen said, no, that cannot happen because I want her son to be the king. But you will be the king. You are Bhishma. You are Gangeya. And then Gangeya said, I give you this vow that I will never claim the throne. Right? And that's a great vow. I mean, just imagine. So much sacrifice. But the fisherman, king of the fishermen said, but there is a problem. What if you marry and your son claims the throne? And then Gangaya said, I give another vow that I will never ever bear children. And he said, why are you making such vows? And Gangaya said, even if I don't bear children, I will gain the wealth of heaven. I don't have any repentance. And from that day on, Gangaya came to be known as Bhishma, one who has made terrible vows. And this way Gangaya, Bhishma, carried Satyavati and got her married to King Shantanu. And in time they had two children, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. Now they were very strong and very powerful, and so strong that when Chitrangada became the king, one demigod by the same name became very envious of Chitrangada. And he challenged Chitrangada. He said, you come and fight with me. And after 3 years of fighting, Chitrangada was killed. The Chitrangada, the king, the human of not the demigod, the demigod killed King Chitrangada. And then Vichitravirya, the other person, was made the king. Right? And when Vichitravirya was a young boy, so Satyavati told Bhishma, let Vichitravirya be the king, but you rule the kingdom for some time till he grows up. Bhishma said, okay. So as Vichitravirya was growing up, Bhishma thought, Vichitravirya has to get married. So he went to the kingdom of Kashi, where he heard that three women, three princesses, were having a Swayamvara. You know what a Swayamvara is? Swayamvara? Where in the, in a, yes. No, not exactly, but many men come, you're right. And then the woman, the girl, can choose any husband she wants.
Yes.
Right. So they had a Swayamvara for the three princesses called Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika, which in Sanskrit means mother, little mother, and very little mother. Right. And then Bhishma actually got right into the arena and had a big fight with all the princes and just kidnapped the women and went back. And while he was going back, the first one said, you know, I was in love with somebody else. If you didn't kidnap me like this, I would have gotten married to that king. I won't tell you the name now. It'll come back in the book of the battle. So Bhishma, after consulting his Brahmana minister, said, you can go. Right? And the other two were married to Vichitravirya. But unfortunately, they did not have any children. And a few days later, Vichitravirya died of consumption, drinking. He was drinking too much. And the Mahabharata says, he died like the setting of the sun. And now imagine, there is a whole big kingdom without a king. Right? So you go on for 5 minutes more and then you lose stuff. Is that okay? Consumption, yeah. That's Kshatriya who drink.
Alcohol.
Yeah. Kshatriyas are allowed to eat meat and drink. Anyway, so at that point Satyavati came and told Bhishma, Bhishma, you should become the king. But Bhishma said, I have given a vow. And again, this is the nature of a Vaishnava. Rizananda Goswami once explained to us that the word devotee comes from a Latin word devotiare, which comes from the Sanskrit word dhiravrata. Just compare the words, devotee, dhiravrata. One who is dhira, who is steady in his vrata, in his vows and commitments. That is a devotee. Once he has decided he is going to do something, once he has decided his service, he is steady. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vairachaya Atmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana. The successful people, their aim is one, they are one-pointed concentration. And those who are unsuccessful, they are Bahushaka, they are everywhere, they are doing 10 things together at the same time. Sometimes we are doing 10 things at the same time, but if we have one goal fixed, that is also, you know, Atmika, Vairachaya Atmika Buddhi. So Bhishma Dev now went to his mother, Satyavati, and said, I cannot rule the kingdom. Satyavati said, you know, there is this law in Smriti where the brother-in-law of a woman can beget a child in the woman if the husband is not there. This law is called, in Western law, this is called the law of levirate. It's also there in the Old Testament. Right? And she said, when I was young, at one point, sage Parasar was crossing the river. And as a young girl, my father asked me to do charity by taking people across the river. So when sage Parasar was crossing the river, sage Parasar was overcome with desire, and he wanted me to enjoy with him. And at that point in time, my body used to smell very foul because I was a fisherwoman. And Sage Parashar said, if you give in to my desires, I will give you a blessing. You will never smell like this anymore. And she said, okay. So Sage Parashar covered the whole place with a deep, dark mist, fog, right? And through their union came the great sage Vyasadeva. So Satyavati said, Vyasadeva is actually Vichitravirya's and Chitrangada's brother. He has the right to get children. Get Vyasadeva. So when she remembered, Vyasadeva came and, you know, he was overjoyed to see his mother again. And she told Vyasadeva, we are in a situation, we don't have anything, and therefore can you please beget children in the womb of Ambika and Ambalika? And Vyasadeva said, okay. But Vyasadeva was a very ugly looking person. Dark with copper colored eyes and strange locks and dreadful. And so when Ambika was sent to Vyasadeva, she looked at this horrible person and closed her eyes. She was so scared. And later on, she asked Vyasadeva, how will be my child? Satyavati asked him, how will the child be like? Vyasadeva said, this child will be very strong. But because Ambika shut her eyes when she saw me out of fear or hatred or whatever, the child will be blind. Then Ambalika, Satyavati said, please, can you help Ambalika? And Satyavati told Ambalika, don't close your eyes, you'll be in trouble. So Ambalika, she forcefully kept her eyes open, but she was so scared that she turned pale. She turned white with fear. And later on, when Satyavati asked, how will this child be? He said, this child will be a great warrior and a great archer, but because Ambalika turned pale after seeing me, this child will be pale, Pandu. Pandu in Sanskrit means pale, one with a very light skin. And after a long time, when she thought, how can a blind man be a king? Satyavati thought. Said, let me call Vyasa again. And this time she told Ambika, please beget another child with Vyasadeva. But Ambika was so scared that she dressed a servant with her own ornaments like her and sent her to Vyasadeva. She just wanted to escape the situation. And through that servant came the most holy Mahatma, Vidura. Yes. And in a way, through this story we understand how to understand a sage. There are several examples where sages, they look very ugly, they look horrible. Right? But it is by hearing them, by understanding the depth of their realization, that we understand an individual as a sadhu. It is not by one's external features. Prabhupada is to say, it is very easy to become a 2 paise Brahmin. You go to the marketplace, you give 2 paise and get a Brahmin thread. You wear it on your shoulders and you're a Brahmin. And when I was young in India, I have seen, you know, rickshawala and even he has a thread around, and I was sitting on the rickshaw and he was pulling me. You know, a Brahmin pulling somebody else, he's Brahmin. Real devotees are those who know dharma, who know the heart of Krishna, like Vidura. There is a story, and we'll end with the short story, that when Krishna came to Hastinapur to negotiate with the Pandavas and the Kauravas to avoid a war, Duryodhana had huge amount of food and very, very royal things for him. Krishna didn't accept it. Krishna instead went to Vidura, who was a poor man in a small hut. Right? And Vidura and his wife were so much in love with Krishna that they had nothing really, but they were giving Krishna bananas, but they were so enamored by Krishna. They were peeling the banana, throwing the banana away, and giving Krishna the skin. But Krishna is known as Bhavakati. He takes the feelings of the devotees. He values the relationship of the devotees. So Krishna was actually eating banana peels. And if Krishna is also known as Saradrahi, which means even if you don't have any feelings for Krishna, just the very act that you have done something for him is valuable. He takes the value of that. He appreciates that at least technically you have tried. Right? So we will stop here today. In the next day we will continue with the end of Adi Parva and we will complete Sabha Parva tomorrow, that is. Right. Okay?